With the Toronto Maple Leafs out of the playoffs again, let's take a moment to appreciate the ridiculous season that Austin Matthews just had.
Here's Matthews to the attack. Wrap around. Scores! There's number 200 and number one of the year. Kicked in by Matthews. Here it is. Scores! There's a new member of the 60-goal club. And Austin Matthews is the first Leaf ever to go 0-60 in a single season.
Yeah, pretty special, honestly. You know, reception from my teammates, the crowd, I mean, everything. It just, just kind of sends chills down your bones.
For any player to score 60 goals and lead the NHL in scoring is a massive achievement. But for a Mexican-American kid born in California and raised in Arizona, it's totally unique. An utterly modern story of hockey taking root in the Southwest. And one of the central characters in that tale is a Ukrainian-Mexican hockey coach that you just have to meet. He's a one-of-a-kind named Boris Dorozhenko. Here's our senior producer, Dan Bloom, with Boris.
What's the temperature?
Here right now?
Yeah.
90.
Nice. Are you used to it? You didn't grow up in 90-degree weather.
Not really. My name is Boris Dorozhenko. Developed the hockey players from youth to professional. Living in Scottsdale, Arizona now. And originally, I'm from Kiev, Ukraine. I was born in Soviet Union. We live by a big stadium. In the winter time, they put outdoor rink, and I was really impressed of the sticks, hockey gear, and a major impression was from the goaltender equipment. And I feel like I want to try.
So you were playing for a club where?
I played in a club in Kiev, Sokol Kiev. It was pretty famous hockey club and produced a lot of talents.
This is towards the end of the Soviet Union. It's like you knew that something was wrong with the USSR, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When all economic relations start to fall apart there, I was playing pretty competitive hockey, but payments for the hockey player was not really nothing. We were like waiting for our salaries for 6 months. And the last years of Soviet Union was terrible. Nobody get the payments and many cancellation games, and it was terrible. So I took a decision to move. I got an opportunity to move to Mexico and build the hockey there.
You get off the plane from Kyiv.
Yeah.
You don't speak any Spanish.
No.
How do you start to get along in Mexico not speaking the language?
Adios, tequila, and sombrero. That's three words I knew when I get there. In the same time, I didn't speak any English. So I didn't speak any Spanish. I didn't speak any English. And it was really hard. When I started working in Mexico, Federation of Ice Hockey was really small, like 30 players in the whole country. But I was impressed with ice rink there, how professional it was. So having that nice rink, you have no hockey players. But we changed a little bit this story.
For those of us, myself included, who have never heard hockey coached in Spanish, what would it sound like? Pretend that you're coaching me and you want me to skate harder. What would you tell me?
In Spanish?
Yeah. Coach me up.
Well, I can say, andale, andale.
No, but what would you say? Like, how do you say skate? I don't even know how to say skate in Spanish.
Patinar.
Patinar. Okay, so...
You're saying, like, tú tienes patinar más rápido. Y echa ganas. Y dale, dale, dale. Andale, andale, andale. It's a big mark of my life from Mexican culture because I'm fluent. I have a citizenship of Mexico, so I'm not born there, but I get the citizenship. For many years, I lived there.
Yeah.
And I feel like a part of Mexican culture.
So you feel that Mexico has given a lot to you, and you have also given a lot to Mexico. You built up the national team program. You said there were 30 youth players in the whole country, and that was it. So... tell me about the growth that took place while you were leading the program.
We make a strategy there. We start to involve the high schools in the program. And we start to make them games and invite mariachis. If stairs were full of schools, like 2,000 people on the stairs, mariachi playing between face-off and face-off. Yeah, and it was incredible. And then more schools and more kids start to be involved, and they start to play internationally too, like tournaments.
So you start taking the teams out on tournaments, and you go to Phoenix.
Yep.
And the team basically exceeded the expectations of the other people who were at these tournaments. Can you describe what that was like?
I remember the first phone calls I did with some hockey directors. Oh, yeah, we definitely need some team to come and play with us. And then asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Mexico. They asked me, New Mexico? And I said, no, Mexico. They say, New Mexico? I said, no, Mexico. When we get here and they start to play, the people are really surprised. We beat a team from Canada and Quebec in the first game of the tournament. And everybody shut the mouth really quick. Arizona team did well. Like, everybody were like, wow, these kids can skate really well. Like, really, really doing something.
And this impresses people.
Yeah.
This gets your name on the radar of people when you bring these teams around.
Yeah.
How do you get the invitation to come and do the guest coaching in Arizona?
One of the coaches who worked with me in Mexico, he moved back to Arizona. So he was in touch with the people in Arizona who play games against us. And they mentioned to him, like, we'll be good to have Boris come over and do like masterclass for a week or so. And we did it the first time. I remember like probably like 5 or 6 days. And that's exactly when Austin Matthews showed a face there when he was 6 years old.
6 years old. Could you tell right away that this was a special kid?
It was a special kid because he was with fire in the eyes, definitely. With no much skill in this time, he was okay. But 6 years old, he's just beginner. Like, you can say, you just feel his fire in his eyes. They asked me right away, his grandfather and father say, like, are you coming next year? I said, yeah, I do, if you invite me. They said, okay, let's do it. And next year, I start prepare this trip for me a little bit longer, for 2 weeks. And then we started the conversation after second year when to my move to U.S.
So it was Austin Matthews' parents, Emma and Brian, who were the spearheads to say, wait a minute, we can't just have you once a year. We got to have you here year round, right?
Exactly was the conversation. We need you longer times. We need you all year round here. It was long, long, long relationship on the ice with Austin. Like, we start to 6 years old and finish, like, officially we're not finished yet, but when you the big star of the league and you're a coach who teach this star in a young age, like, what you can teach you more? Like, you're saying, you can teach me now. The transformation of Austin during the playing National Hockey League, he's not the same Austin. Now he is much more mature and much more stronger and much more skilled, even more. His skill never stopped. He know how to build it more and more every day.
With Matthews, Gardner jumping in. Austin Matthews in, shoots, scores! Austin Matthews, overtime winner! Absolutely unstoppable!
60 goals, led the league in scoring.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You knew this kid from 6 years old, and now he's literally the best goal scorer in the league.
Yeah, probably in the world. It's the best scorer in the world, definitely.
Emma Matthews was born in Mexico.
Yeah.
Do you take some special pride in knowing that you've helped a player with Mexican background make it to the league and succeed so much?
Definitely. I still have a lot of people in Mexico who big fan club of Austin Matthews, and they know he is Austin Matthews Martinez because his last name by mom is Martinez, and they know how to speak Spanish. And special pride, definitely. And Austin knows his roots. He really likes Mexico. He really likes Mexican culture.
What did it feel like to watch him make the league?
I was really impressed. I feel like on the sky of happiness. I remember the first day of the draft when he was picked first overall. I remember I was on the ice and somebody tell me, you don't know what you did. You did history, like for Arizona, for like, I said, I didn't feel that. I was just feeling happy about Austin. When I watched his first game, we were in Hawaii with my wife and my son, sitting in some restaurant, and the game started. I put it on iPod, and Austin scored first goal. And my son said, Austin scored the goal. I said, wow, cool. First game in National Hockey League scored the first goal. And then he scored the second goal. I said, Austin scored another goal. I said, okay, now I need to watch it more carefully. And I started to watch it, and I told my son, like, oh, if Austin starts scoring, he can score even 4 or 5. And then he scored 4, and my son said, how do you know that? I said, because I know Austin for many years. He has no limits. He has a desire to score always, everywhere, and that's inside of him. It is part of his personality. He competes with himself all the time. We have a cruise ship there waiting for us, and I remember it was raining. And I'm walking with an iPad watching the game, and my wife behind me with an umbrella. It's funny.
That's a great memory. You're born in Kyiv.
Yeah.
And grew up there, and you still have family there.
Yeah.
So obviously we're having this conversation during a tragic time for your homeland. And I just wanted to know what thoughts you have about what's going on.
Well, it's definitely very hard for me. I was in shock when this everything happened. It was hard for me to sleep, to eat, to talk. But now I realize this is reality, and we need to be strong, and we need to fight this aggression. We're talking about the military aggression of Russia against Ukraine. It's no question about this. It's not fair war. It's not fair for kids and families and my parents in Ukraine and many, many more parents and other families. I think this war needs to be stopped right away.
Boris Dorozhenko is the founder and director of Next Generation Hockey. You can find more information in our show notes. Thanks for listening. And if you've stuck around this long, we leave you with this.
And with my size, I'm 6'4", blonde guy, no English, no Spanish, moving on all this public transportation. People look at me like a giant, like, who this dude?